Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity, for being here, for being a part of all of this, for being in this room with us, and for bringing these exact women into this room at this time. Lord, I just pray that you would just give us the energy that we need to finish this last session strong. Lord, give us clear minds. Lord, I pray that you would give me clear words and clear thoughts, the ability to communicate well. I pray that you would put words into my mouth that you want me to speak, and I pray that you would stop me from speaking the words that you don't want me to speak. Lord, what a privilege it is to be with believers who stand for life, who fight for life daily, Lord. May what we learn here be able to go back to the centers and make a difference. Lord, we love you in your name. Amen. So when I started to think about I'm right in your way. I'm sorry. And I just, as a quick side note, I had a couple procedures on my back recently. And so standing, and it didn't dawn on me until after I got here that I will not be standing for an hour and a half. I would be more like laying down on the ground by the end. So I apologize for the casual need to sit on a stool here. When I started to think about what I wanted to share with you guys, I thought, how do I start this? How do I open this? And I tried to put myself in your position. And my thinking was, if I were sitting out there, I would want to know, who is this person, and why does she think she can tell me, who works at a center, what are the things that I need to be doing? And so I want to give you just a little bit of background on who I am. I have lived in Kansas City for almost 30 years. I actually grew up just outside of Kansas City, so really it's been more than 30 years by a long shot. And that actually is important because it does kind of play a role in what I share with you, because I am from a larger area. But what I'm hoping is that I can take what we've seen in some of these larger areas, because I know that not all of you are from a larger area, and hopefully kind of distill that down a little bit for you. My husband and I have owned our own marketing agency, Stone Creek Consulting, for 20 years. It's hard to believe that it's been 20. I know you guys are going, what? You're not old enough. Yeah, I'm afraid I am. We have worked in a lot of various industries over those 20 years, mostly in the for-profit world, some big, some small. But what we started doing is we started seeing some things that these big for-profit companies were doing to reach their audience. And so my thinking was, how can I take what I've learned over here and bring it into the pregnancy center world? Because this is where the stuff really matters, right? We're not selling widgets, okay? We're saving lives. And so I wanted to start to take some of those things that we had learned and trained and seen work in the for-profit world and move it over to pregnancy help organizations. So about 8 years ago, I started working with some pregnancy help organizations, and I've been involved in a number of different ways, from handling all their marketing to going in and consulting. But the point that I want you guys to know is that I have been immersed in this world, and so I understand a lot of what you guys see and what you guys experience and how you guys are effective in reaching these women and sometimes men who need your services. The most important thing about me on a personal note is that I am a passionate follower of Jesus Christ. It's the most important thing. It's number one. The number two slot is that I have been married to the same man for almost 30 years, which means if you guys see him, he's the bald guy. He'll probably be stepping in here in a little bit. Just remind him that in June, 30 years is coming up, so I expect something big, right? Because I need that. Thank you. Something big needs to happen here. I have two really amazing daughters. There's one of them. That's my youngest. Hi, Lauren. And then I have a daughter and a son-in-law, and they live in Philadelphia. He whisked her away to Philadelphia, which is a long ways away. But he is in seminary, and we just found out they're going to be coming back to Kansas City in May. So I'm really thrilled. So this was out down at Kansas City Market this summer, and this is my tribe. This is what keeps me going. And the really cool thing about this, as I think about this picture, and I think you guys have probably experienced this too, if you have children, because of what I'm passionate about in life and seeing that life organizations thrive and do well, my kids now have developed that passion too. And my two married kids, Brittany and Christopher, you know, they've gone out, they're helping in Philadelphia, and they've done some sidewalk, you know, work prayer. I told them, I said, "Ooh, you guys better grow thick skin if you're going to do that, because that's a tough one, right?" Mm-hmm. And even Lauren, as she deals, you know, she's 17. She deals with kids in school or from work that she knows that are sexually active, and we talk about these things, and she knows. And it's cool to see the next generation coming up behind us because of what we know and our passion. So here are some ground rules for what I want this session to be. Like I said, I know we're tired, and so if you guys can hang with me as we do kind of a deep dive, because there are kind of a few little, we're going to get a little technical at times. So the best way we can all learn is through being interactive. So I say something you don't understand, stop me. I say something you don't agree with, maybe stop me. I say something that you do agree with, definitely stop me. Something that you want to add to it, because that's how we learn best, right? We learn from each other and each other's experience. And so don't hesitate to speak up, because I want you guys to have fun as we finish out this conference, and I want you guys to learn, and that's the best way to learn. So let's talk about this. One of the most important things I think that you guys, at the very top level, that you guys do is getting your message in front of the right person, okay, typically a woman who is in crisis mode, right, had a pregnancy scare, it's usually unplanned, whether she's abortion-minded, abortion-vulnerable, determined, whatever. You have a message that needs to get in front of her at the right time. And that's your very number one first step, right? You got to get your message out there. And so I think there are three things that you guys can be doing, can be utilizing to actually get your message in front of her at just the right time. First one is geofencing. And we're going to do, like I said, we're going to kind of do a deep dive on all of these. We're going to kind of talk through the specifics, what they are, and how to do them well. The second one that I think is a great way for you to get in front of them is through Facebook and Instagram boosting. And I know there are a lot of other social media options out there. Those are a topic for another time, but Facebook and Instagram, I want to talk about how to use those in the best way possible. And then the last one is Google Ads, and it's actually, there's a reason for these to be in this order, because honestly, I would label them from top to bottom, bottom being most effective, and I get really excited and geeked out. I hope I don't get too geeky technical for you guys on the Google Ads. So let's start with talking about geofencing. How many of you guys, first of all, how many of you guys have heard about geofencing? Pretty most people. How many feel like they have a really great grasp of exactly what it is? Yeah, that's what I thought. Geofencing is a little bit of a difficult beast to try to tame. But there are some good things about it. So let's kind of break this down and let's talk about this. Geofencing kind of really hit the scene with pregnancy centers maybe about 3 years ago. I know that some pregnancy centers got really excited about it. So let's talk about this. This is a really boring description of what geofencing is, so we'll explain this a little better. So it's a location-based service in which an app uses GPS, Wi-Fi, or cellular data to trigger an action, okay? There's an action that happens when your phone enters a virtual boundary that's set up around a geographic location. That's known as a fence. You guys got it? You're good? You know everything you need to know about it, right? No. So let's do an example here. Let's make everybody wealthy today in my example, okay? So let's say I own a BMW dealership in Kansas City. And I'm running a special right now where if somebody goes to any of the other BMW dealerships and they get a quote on a price, if they bring me that quote, I'll knock off $1,000 and sell them whatever they're buying at $1,000 less than my competitors. So here's my location, okay? You guys, here's where you get to be wealthy. You guys get to, you're in the market for buying a brand spanking new BMW. But instead of going to me, you drive across town to my competitor. So here's my competitor. I have drawn a fence, a geographic fence in geofencing around my competitor. And what I've done with that is said, anybody whose phone enters my competitor's fence, where I've drawn it around, I want you to capture their phone information, then I want you to start sending them ads. I want you to send them my ad that says, hey, I'm running a special, I'll beat this guy's price by $1,000. Those ads will show up on different apps. You guys have all, I guarantee you guys have seen ads, whether you paid attention to them or not. That's part of what we're going to talk about here. But those apps show up, or those ads show up on, you know, People Magazine app, your local news station app, AccuWeather, thousands of apps, and they all sell ad space. And so I've drawn a fence around my competitor, and I say, anybody whose phone enters that, I want you to start sending them my ad. Okay? So I think you guys can, if you're tracking with me here, you can kind of start to see maybe a little bit about, oh, I see how maybe pregnancy centers can do this. There are certain places that maybe a potential client might go that I would want to start sending them ads after they've been there. To give you an example of how this works, and it does, I know a lot of pregnancy centers that I've talked to, especially their boards, like, oh, this doesn't sound completely above board. Let me tell you guys something. You are being fenced all the time, everywhere you go. I'm sorry, it's the world we live in right now, okay? And so while ads show up, that sometimes, you know how you guys have seen ads or seen something, you go, wow, what a coincidence. I was just thinking about that. It is not a coincidence from a marketer standpoint. I guarantee there was a whole lot of thought into who gets what ads. So this is really interesting. I just did a quick search, pulled up some different apps on my phone and did a screen capture. This first one's for Price Chopper. Price Chopper is a grocery store in Kansas City. And this ad showed up, I think it was on our local news station, one of the local news station apps. While I can't say for sure, that's kind of the beauty of these ads, I can't say for sure why I'm getting this, but I have a sneaky suspicion I'm getting this ad because I don't shop at Price Chopper. I actually shop at Walmart Neighborhood Market because it's about 2 minutes from my house. It's right around the corner. If Price Chopper's smart, they're going to geofence anybody whose phone, which is always with us, right, whose phone walked into Neighborhood Market, okay, and then they're going to go, oh, hey, look, earn every time you shop, because Walmart Neighborhood Market does not give me that, right? And so there's one example of how we're constantly being fenced. Go over to the far right side. That's my AccuWeather app. I get a Cottonelle. Bathroom toilet paper ad. It could be that Cottonelle is spending money to advertise because everybody needs toilet paper. It also could be that, again, Cottonelle goes, hey, you go to one of the grocery stores close by, I'm going to pop up an ad so that you go, oh, hey, that's right, I need toilet paper, and I just remembered that Cottonelle is a really good one. This center one, I think this is really interesting. I don't know how well you guys can see this. In planning to come to conference, I did like so many of us women did. Last week I went to the hair salon, right, because I needed a new do before I came. And right after that, I get this ad for color from the comfort of your home. Is it possible that whoever these people are, they don't put their name on there real clearly, whoever these people are, maybe drew fences around some of the hair salons in the area, and they say, no, wait, you don't have to go to the hair salon place. You can do this at home. Okay, these are examples of what's happening to us every day. Yes, Preston.
I'm just going to say, if your board or your staff hear about this and go, oh, that's kind of creepy. It's only creepy when you know the secret sauce. It's not creepy to people who it's happening to.
Right.
It's like a hot dog.
You don't want.
But if you watch how they're made, you're like, oh, I'm never going to eat one again until you smell one.
He's very correct about that. And like I said, this kind of stuff, these are the kind of things that show up all the time for us, right? And we look at it, and again, sometimes our brain goes, whew, what a weird coincidence. And then we move on. But the, like I said, there are no coincidences. Yes, ma'am.
So is it geofencing when my phone is sitting next to the computer of my coworker, she's looking at maternity clothing from Old Navy, and then I start getting Old Navy ads on my phone?
So my answer to that is I don't think that's geofencing because you cannot bring your fence down that tiny.
Okay.
But you guys know that everything on your phone is connected with everything else, right? And you're probably Facebook friends with this person, I'm guessing.
Or you're connected to the same Wi-Fi.
That's what I was
thinking. Yeah. Right. Yep. Yeah. There are 100 ways that they're tracking it.
Heard you over your phone, and then
and we all have that experience. And I'm,
the ad system is assuming that you are the one who looked at it on your computer, so now we're going to talk to you on your phone.
Yeah. So, there's everything's connected, guys. It's the world we live in. So let's bring this back then, and let's talk about what are some areas that pregnancy centers can geofence. Now, I am looking at this from being in a larger city. And so I have a few more options, right? And so you guys, if this is going to be an option for you, you guys might have to get a little creative. And it's one of the things that I want us to maybe discuss here. It just so happens that the pregnancy center that I do the most work with and we do geofencing with, they are across the parking lot from Planned Parenthood. Yeah, they look out their front doors on Planned Parenthood. It's the largest one in Kansas City. It's Great Plains. And so obviously for them, this is a really good fit. They're geofencing the heck out of Planned Parenthood right now across the parking lot. There is also a doctor down the street from them that they know does performs abortions. So that is another thing. You do run into a few little HIPAA laws here and there with drawing your fence. They don't like you drawing your fence. You guys understand what I mean when I say drawing your fence, taking a geographic, a physical location and saying, draw a circle around this. And so we can't get super tight in there because there's HIPAA laws that they don't want us to violate, but we can still catch a lot of people with that. College campuses are a really, really great place, especially if you're doing any kind of, pregnancy testing, STD testing. College campuses are a great place to do this because you guys know there's a lot of sexual activity happening there. If there is a large-scale party area, so for instance, Kansas City, our party area is Power and Light District downtown. A couple years ago, when the Kansas City Chiefs won the Super Bowl, go Chiefs! Thank you. We geofenced the Power and Light District because you guys know anytime there's a lot of celebration going on that about 4 to 6 weeks later, there's a lot of pregnancy tests happening. And so while this isn't, we're basically just capturing, grand total of, these women, we are going to serve up some ads to some women who did party just a little too much and regret it later. Are there any others that you guys can think of that might be a good way? Because I thought I'd open it up to you and see if there's something that maybe you're like, hey, there's some place close by that we could do. Ah, that's a great one, yeah. Well, it's a government...
Women, Infant, and Children.
And it provides assistance for lower-income people. Sometimes you go to the grocery store and you'll see like certain items that are WIC approved. They get like a card where they can go and there's like, it's almost like a credit card, but they can only use it for certain things.
You can do high schools.
I have not seen a lot of really great, results from that. And we did actually try that for a while. You've got a, while they're, Well, the number of girls in high schools who are sexually active is growing. You still got it's still a small part of the high school that it. We just never really saw a whole lot of response from that.
Could be that generation's just used to ignoring the apps.
It could be.
What about just a regular doctor's office for a small rural town?
Well, absolutely, absolutely, yes, yes, because yeah. Yeah, and especially if you're offering free pregnancy testing, definitely. Any of the doctors that deliver babies or, you know, OBGYNs or anything like that.
Or Dollar General, where they're getting the Dollar General
test. Okay, now you're getting really interesting. So we have talked about this. We have actually talked about the ability, how tightly down can we get. What I would love to see happen is for us to draw our fence around the pregnancy aisle, the pregnancy test aisle at every place. You can't get your fence drawn down that tight. But again, yes, it's a matter of, do you want to spend your money hitting a lot of people that, you know, are like me, that go to Dollar General, you know?
Can you target a specific age range?
What a great question. you had a thought, though.
Do you then track click-on rates? Or
yes. Okay. So that's... You guys, look at you, and you're just telling my story for me. I will get to that because, yes, that is a really great question. Okay, so what you can do is you tell your target, your fence, you say I only want to target women between the ages of, I think we set our targets at between the ages of 18 to 34. I don't think you can go lower than 18 on that, which does, that would affect then the high schools too, if you did anything like that. So you can see there are a lot of places out there that these could serve you well. However, there are some downsides, and I want to talk about these downsides really specifically because there's a reason why I put this as this is kind of the least effective. It's a good option, but it's kind of the least effective in some ways. Okay, you pay for impressions. I don't know if you guys understand, when I'm on my phone and an ad, if it just shows up on my phone, that's an impression. No matter whether I clicked on it, I might have not actually even seen it. But you pay for impressions when you buy geofencing. And to me, that is super ineffective. I would much, much rather pay for clicks because that way I know the person is actually interested in coming to my stuff. But to my knowledge, there are no geofencing out there, options out there that do anything other than paying for impressions. It can get expensive to do this. So you pay for people to see, but they don't always see. Your ad can be really hard to stand out. People are ad blind to these things, right? It's mixed in with a bunch of other ads. Usually it's not usually by itself. It's on the side. It's small because it's on a device. You're not paying for the actual clicks. I mentioned that. You're not paying for the actual clicks on the ad. And another thing just to bear in mind, these ads are showing up on apps. People did not come to the app to view ads, right? They came to the app because they wanted to read something, they wanted to do something, whatever that app is for. And so this is a little bit what they call interruption-based marketing. They're not in the frame of mind necessarily to be looking for your services right then, and so you're interrupting whatever it is they're doing with your ad. So people kind of tend to block those out. Another thing that's really difficult, you have no idea if people actually came in because of your ad. There's no way to track this. And so you really don't have any way to know, was this effective? Really? I know I did a lot of impressions, but kind of so what? Right? I don't know if they actually did see them. This is an example of what we're talking about. Now, this is actually off of a website. This was USA Today. I just went there. I just wanted to see how many ads are showing up. Everything's a red circle around it are ads. What's interesting is I can tell you exactly why Vistaprint and VidAngel are showing up in my ads on USA Today. But the point is, if I'm going to USA Today, I'm going there because I want to know Kyle Rittenhouse. I want to know what's going on with Kyle Rittenhouse trial. I don't want to go there to learn about what special Vistaprint is running. And so I don't pay attention to that. And so that's the problem that we really run into with geofencing, is that you can't guarantee that just because your ad's showing up, anybody is really actually paying attention to it. You can also get false results with these. This is really funny. Perhaps somebody went to the building next door, but they stopped in front of your building, you know, that you've geofenced for a minute, or they parked there and walked next door. You're capturing all these people. And sometimes even just the filtering of saying women ages 18 to 34, I know that I've had ads served up to me because I've been at the pregnancy center that's across the street from Planned Parenthood. And I'm going, well, there's my ad showing up. Of course, I'm going to notice it because I designed it, right? So it stands out to me. But I'm also going, well, that's sweet, but I'm not really of the age of, you know, I'm not their target audience. So you do get false results with these. And it does happen quite a bit. And so, you know, you're paying, like, again, you're paying for these impressions. And they might not necessarily be who you want them to go to. Another downside, it can be doggone expensive, bottom line. If you want to hire a professional to do this, and this is a company that maybe does, they actually, usually what happens is they are in the space where they purchase the ad space from all of these app companies and everything. And it can get really expensive. It can be anywhere from $2,000 to $3,000 a month, which is pretty much cost prohibitive for just about everyone. Now, the upside, and I got to tell you guys, had we done this conference in March, I would have ended my presentation with geofencing right there. So there is no upside. It's just too expensive and you don't get enough results. However, I have recently found there are some really cool places that allow you to do this completely 100% yourself. And they are super cheap. Really cool. There is a place that I've been using called groundtruth.com. To my knowledge, they are not pro-life, they are not pro-Christian necessarily, but they also have not, I've not run into any troubles with them refusing to do any of my ads or anything, so I think they've been pretty open to, yeah, absolutely. So let me tell you guys a little bit about how I said, oh my goodness, I'm already losing people. groundtruth.com. Yep. Also, I will say they've really set it up. I did not, and I realize I have a little bit more technical skill just because of what I do, but their stuff was really easy to set up. Their stuff has been very easy to use. So I want to tell you just a little bit about how I set our geofencing stuff up. Okay. I've taken three different locations that I want to fence. I've decided on the three. One of them is Planned Parenthood that is downtown Kansas City. This is on the Missouri side, so they are not doing abortions anymore. Thank you, Missouri. But they are referring everybody right across the state line. Okay, so, and interestingly, I'll show you here in a second, I get the best results from all of, the most impressions and clicks and everything from all of my Planned Parenthood downtown stuff. I've also geofenced the Planned Parenthood that is right next door, so these two abortion facilities, and then the abortion doctor that's down the street. I know for sure those three places are abortion facilities. And so, by George, that's where I want to start capturing people's information. Then I've set up three different ads, and each of these ads will show up at each of these three different locations. I'm running one set of ads for abortion. I am running one set for pregnancy testing. And I'm doing one for abortion pill reversal. Those are the three that we've decided. You guys can, you know, certainly set yours up. However, you can add pregnancy testing in there, STD testing, I mean, in there. We've just decided those are the kind of our top three things that way I want to focus on. So these three ad sets show up to anybody who's in any of these three locations. Now, you guys can't really see this very well. Here's what I wanted to show you, okay? Remember I told you you're paying for impressions, okay? So this is our, I believe it's our abortion ad set that's showing up at Planned Parenthood downtown. I started this middle of June is when I started using them. For the impressions, it is 908, I believe. Boy, that's really little. So since June, I've had 908 times that our ad has shown up. But here's what's cool. While I pay for impressions, they're still tracking clicks. I've had 56 women who have clicked on one of those ads. To me, that's not bad. Here's the beauty of it, though. I have paid, since June, $6.32. Wow. I know. Now, is it worth $6.32 to have 50 whatever women at least get a little bit more information about what we provide? Oh, absolutely. So this is one of the keys to making geofencing work is you find your location and then you do a place where you can do it yourself. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
You're talking about the fence, how big?
How tight?
What do you normally say? How many?
So I look up the geographic, the physical location of it, that their address, and I think with Ground Truth, I think you can draw it down to a tenth of a mile. It's still bigger than I want it, but I know within a tenth of a mile, I know I'm actually getting the people who I definitely want to. I may be getting a few extras, but I definitely getting the people that I want to. And I think that's as small as they let you draw it down. I would love, like I said, we have kicked around, you know, doing like latitude and longitude, like taking our phones into the pregnancy test aisle at, you know, Walgreens and getting latitude and longitude and see if we can draw it down really tight. We haven't gotten there yet, but I don't doubt that geofencing, as they make changes in. Yeah, we will eventually get there. Okay, so here's some best practices, and we're going to look at some of these ads and some of these things to do to make sure that you're using your $6.52 wisely, right? Your ad needs to stand out. You need to use eye-catching colors. You need to use eye-catching graphics. Something that kind of stands out on the page. Because remember, there's a whole lot of stuff going on that page. Your ad needs to have very few words. I have seen ads before that have way too many words, and remember, most people are looking at it on something this size, and while you design that on your computer screen, and it looks great, and you can read all the words real clearly, you shrink that down to teeny tiny, and you cannot read it. So use very few words on this. Geofencing will... I know Ground Truth in particular, they will have various different ad sizes because they want to show it to women who are using all the different types of phones and the different sizes of screens, plus any mobile devices like iPads or anything like that, tablets. And so utilize, I think they have four different sizes. Create your ad in all four sizes so that you're showing up on any device that might be out there. And then give clear directions on what you want this person to do. Click on it. Learn more. Go here. You know, tell them. Tell them what you want them to do. So here are my three ads that we're running. This first one, abortion, abortion pill, and then pregnancy testing. Those are the four different sizes. So they're all the same thing. Basically, they're all the same graphic. And by the way, let me do a quick rabbit trail here. If you do not have Canva in your life to create graphics, it will revolutionize your life. You will look like a rock star. Canva. Canva. That's awesome, because I was going to say, get the pro version, because you can put a picture in there, and it will remove the background for you. Now, it's not, it is not 100%, and sometimes it makes your picture a little wonky, but all three of these got pulled in there and removed all three of these women had other images behind them, and it removed this. If nothing else from this session, go out and get Canva. You will look like a rock star. It is super easy to use, and it will change your life. But the thing that you'll notice, they all have kind of, they have color to them. And again, the images that we use, the women, you're seeing their eyes, right? They're looking right at you. Anytime you can use a woman's image or even a man's image, if you're doing something for men, where in that ad or whatever you're doing, where the person is looking at the camera, use it, because people are attracted, drawn to eyes. Our eyes are drawn to other people's eyes. I'm going to say this, we're going to go through this. This is going to apply to our social media ads and our Google ads also. So I want to take just a second, talk about what a landing page is. If you guys are doing any ads anywhere and you're telling somebody, click on me for something, and you point them to your home page of your website, I can almost guarantee you've lost the person. Okay? We've all got these wonderful websites, and they have all this wonderful information, as they should. And we've given them all of the services and everything that we do. But when a person clicks on an ad and they go to your homepage, they get overwhelmed really quickly. And if you don't tell them, here is exactly why you came here, and here's what you need to do, you lose them. The statistic used to be that you had 15 seconds to capture a person's interest. I think it's shorter than that. And if they don't immediately see what they're supposed to do when they click on that ad, by far the majority of them move away. They go on. It's just information overload. And so you may need to work with your web person. You may need to talk to a person who does who can help you with that. But you need to point them to a landing page. And a landing page is a single page. It can be on your website. It can be, your website.com/abortion. But it only talks about one thing. And there's some very specific things to setting up a landing page, so that you're pointing your ad and you're moving that potential client from I saw your ad to I clicked on your ad to I'm reading about specifically what you can provide for me on this particular topic that I am interested in, to them making an appointment. Okay? So some of these best practices for these landing pages is what we call them in the marketing world. Be very specific in your wording about the service that you're highlighting. So if you've got an abortion ad out here, as soon as they click on that ad on your landing page, they should see right up at the top, this is about abortion. It should say, have the same words. It should say abortion information. Are you looking for information about abortion? Because they click on that and then they immediately go, oh yeah, I'm at the right place. And you've created trust with them, and they go, I get it. I'm tracking. Good. I'm going to read, because that's why I clicked on the ad.
Images,
would you stop? Thank you. 20 points to the lady in the bag. That's great. You can have my daughter. Oh no, wait. She's been great. She's been great help this week. Use the same exact wording as your ad on the landing page. Again, it creates trust. They get there and they go, yep, this is where I need to be. Here's an interesting one. So you know how on your website you've got all of your navigation at the top. You've got your services and you've got your education and you've got all these tabs up at the top. For a really great landing page, remove all of that because you don't want them to get distracted. They're there for one reason, okay? They're there because they want information about abortion. Give them that information and give them one option, okay? If they want to click away, they can, but you're giving them one option, and that is either, however you have it set up, either to call us or... if you have an online scheduler, which is another little side note, If you have the ability to put an online scheduler on your website, I strongly recommend it. I have seen this be huge. Yes.
Would you get notifications saying that they scheduled from that click?
You
that
don't.
Would be the catch, because I mean, like, so, you don't know that they're abortion minded necessarily. So.
Right. So actually, what we've done with ours is on our scheduler, we have a list of that we give them like four options. What's the reason for your visit? Abortion, STD testing, pregnancy testing.
And then it triggers into the system when they schedule their appointment.
Yeah, and then they can see. Yeah, and then they can see that. Another good reason to have a landing page like this is if you get really geeky and you want to go into your analytics, if you have analytics set up and you want to track your page views, you know that every page view that's on this page came off of your geofencing ad, and so you can have a really good picture of this is exactly how many people have gone here. But you're going to give them one option, and that is to continue on with you. So these are my three landing pages that go with my three ads. I'm using the exact same images. I'm giving them just a little bit more information. We got to give them a little additional information. Each step that they take, we're building trust. We're giving them more information. We're letting them know that we have an answer for you. And then this calendar on here is just where they schedule. And the only other thing that they actually could click on, the Advice and Aid logo on those, those are clickable, that goes to the home site, goes to the home page, in case they happen to click on that and they want to get back over to the main website. But these are kind of standard across the board. These are great practices for any kind of marketing campaign. And I think you guys can see how this makes sense for these geofencing ads. So just to wrap up, bottom line, it's not terribly expensive to do this on your own, right? Especially with a place like Ground Truth. And no, I don't get any kickback for mentioning them. I would strongly recommend them, though, if this is something that you want to do. It will not make a huge difference. You will not start doing geofencing ads and suddenly see an uptick of 350% of girls in your door. For a small investment, though, you are reaching a few, and it's a small investment. The biggest investment is going to be your time in setting these ads up and creating the ads and creating the landing page and making it a really good experience for all of them, for anybody who clicks on it. So bottom line, I think this is definitely an option. Not the best option, but it is definitely an option. So that does us with geofencing. Are we all good? Okay. I'm going to have to start talking fast now. There are, like I said, there are, you know, a whole bunch of other really great social media options out there that we could be using. They all have different strategies, and they all have different everything that needs to go around them. What I want to talk about, though, is Facebook and Instagram, because I guarantee, out of all of them, the women who are potential clients are on one or the other of these. And what's interesting is that these have flip-flopped. Right? In the last just couple years, really. It used to be, make sure you're on Facebook. Oh, you can go ahead and add Instagram. Now we go, make sure you're on Instagram, because that's where all your women are. But you can go ahead and add Facebook, because there are still women who are on there. And because Facebook owns Instagram, it's real easy just to kind of combine everything into kind of your social media, your Facebook bucket there. Okay. Here's where, gang, I'm going to step on toes, and I apologize, and if you disagree with me, keep it to yourself. Not really. When you are setting up your Facebook and Instagram accounts, choose which audience you're going to speak to and speak only to them. Meaning, if you're going to speak to your donors, only speak to your donors and supporters. But for purposes of marketing, you need to have an account that is only client-facing. You guys know the way you speak to your donors and supporters is completely different than the way you speak to the women who walk in your doors. The words you use, even if there are images involved or anything, everything is completely different. And all too often, I see on social media, we're doing this mishmash of both. And so we've got this church provided such and such, and we had this person come in and give us baby bottles, and then, oh, hey, come get a pregnancy test from us. And I guarantee this kind of turns women off. They don't want to see the donor side. You guys already know this. This is a topic for another time. So if that means that you separate out your accounts and you have a friends of your thing, your center, and then a just your center, use that one to reach women. And we're going to talk about how we're going to use this to reach these women. Every time we post then on this client-facing side, this is an opportunity to get our services in front of women who might need them. Maybe they, and this is a little general because we obviously, we can't target women who accidentally got pregnant, right? That's not a target anywhere that you can, anybody will let you target. But I guarantee either they will see it or they, at a time when they might need it, or they know a friend who needs it, because most of these women, most women know in their circle of friends, right? Oh, my friend thinks she might be pregnant. Oh, I saw this on Facebook, or I saw this on Instagram. They're going to connect the two and spread the word for you. So every single post is an opportunity for marketing. It's an opportunity to get your name in front of a person who doesn't follow you, but might need your services or know someone who does. This strategy means you stick to the topic. And this pains me to say, but please don't post on your client-facing site about National Puppy Day. If there is anybody out there in the world who's going to be supportive of National Puppy Day, it's going to be me. But the purpose of our client-facing social media, Facebook and Instagram sites, are to reach women in need. And they don't need to know about National Puppy Day. Okay, we're going to take every opportunity to stick to our topic. I realize I sound super opinionated, and I am. And just know I've not looked at anybody's. I'm not going to look at anybody right now. In case you're guilty of this, take your National Puppy Day and go put it under your supporters. They'd love it. You can build all kinds of camaraderie with them. But use every one of your client-facing posts to reach women who need your services. Okay, so let's talk about some of these topics that you can talk about on social media for them. Let's talk about your services. I mean, you all have multiple services. You've got your pregnancy testing and your STD testing and maybe abortion pill reversal and, you know, all of these things. Use that. You've got just a whole abundance of topics that you can post on. Something different every day of the week almost that you can post on. So talk about your services. Give people, use this as a place to put out pregnancy and abortion information. I don't know if any of you guys have looked at Planned Parenthood's social media. First of all, it kind of makes you throw open your mouth a little bit. It is gross. But they also are putting a ton of information out there about pregnancy information. When can you, you know, how effective is a home pregnancy test? How, you know, when can you do a pregnancy test? You know, how soon can you do a pregnancy test? All these kinds of things. And they have set themselves up into the position where if somebody has a question, they look it up there, right? I want to encroach on their space and say, no, if somebody has a question, they come to you. And so by you just putting pregnancy, abortion kind of information stuff out there continually on your social media, you're setting yourselves up into that space where you're that trusted resource, because we want to knock the abortion industry out of that space, because we know they're not giving pregnancy information, right? They don't give a flying flip about your pregnancy. They just want to give you the abortion information. Make sure that you're doing posts about what people can expect when they come into your office, whether that's maybe a little walkthrough video or maybe a quote from somebody who's willing to share their story. You know, these women are under a great deal of stress and anxiety, and for them to have to walk into your center the first time, is that's adding stress upon stress. And so if you can remove that a little bit, by telling them, hey, here's what to expect. Here's what our, show them pictures of the outside. Show them pictures of the inside. They will kind of feel like, oh, this is kind of, okay, I know what it's going to look like when I get in. I'll be familiar. It helps reduce that stress a little bit. Anybody else have any, like, topics that they think, hey, this would be a good topic to maybe be posting on? These are a little bit broad, so probably everything kind of falls into one of these categories. For social media, this is kind of a non-starter with Instagram, because you have to use a photograph with Instagram, but never, ever post something, especially to Facebook, without some kind of an image. People will not look at all. Even if you boost this thing, even if you promote it and it's showing up to all kinds of people, if there's no image with it, they're not going to take notice of it at all. Use strong, confident images. So this is funny. When I first started working with pregnancy centers, all of my images, funny, I go back and I look now, all of my images were of women doing this. You know, and because my thinking was, a woman in a crisis situation, she's going to see that. She's going to relate to that. She's going to go, oh, yeah, I wonder what this person's upset about, because I feel the same way. But after talking with people, talking with clients, I realized actually they kind of like these strong, confident images because they think that's who I can be. And they associate this confidence with your center. It's so funny. Try not to use, like, overly happy people, because they're still in crisis mode, right? And you don't want to demean what they're going through. And again, and we mentioned this: if you can find images where the woman's looking at the camera, snag that. And this is hard. Don't make all your images white women. I struggle with that. Okay, and what's funny is I struggle with that because I look for women who look like me. Okay, but so are the people who are looking at your ads, right? And they want to see women who look like them. And so, actually, this woman here on the left, both of those top women, I love them because I can't tell what nationality they are fully. They could be like kind of anything. And so, I actually have found several images of those women. So look for images like that. Every single post that you put out there needs to have some kind of what we call a call to action. It needs to have some kind of a link. Click here so that you can get more information. Every single post. And guess where those links are going? They are going to a landing page, right? We're not dropping them off on the homepage. We're going to take them to a page that specifically talks about whatever that post is. And you don't have to create like a different landing page for every single post. You can create one, you know, we've got these categories. You can create one for your pregnancy testing pages or posts, and you can create one for your abortion posts. But it just is a better experience for them. Now, I do want to say something else here as a side note. Bit.ly, and this is really super geeky. Bit.ly.com is a link shortener. So there are times where in my, the web address that I'm putting in there and the link, it's, you know, adviceandaid.com/abortion-information. When I go to boost that post, and we're going to talk about that in a second, Facebook sees the word abortion and they immediately say, nope, we're not going to let you do that. And so what I do is I take that link, I just copy that link, and I go to bit.ly.com, and you see right there, you paste it in there, and it does this automatic link shortener, and it gives it it's numbers and letters, and it's all this, you know, and that link lasts forever. It doesn't expire. That link lasts there forever. But then I can get by with, using words, that maybe are, you know, I need to know that this is abortion information. They're going to my abortion information page, and it kind of flies under the radar of Facebook. Yes, Preston.
Melanie, forgive me if you're going to say this at some point in the future, but when I'm looking for images, I like to just Google and then grab an image off of Google Images. Is that okay?
No, that's not okay. And I speak from experience. I was doing a blog for a Christian school in Olathe. And I'm like, who's going to know that I took this image? I mean, it's a little school, right? I mean, who's going to know? Well, apparently Getty Images has a whole department where they search the web for their images. And they know if you don't pay for that image. And so the school actually gets a nice letter from Getty Images, and they say, you owe us $2,000 for this image. Yeah. And the school goes, what? And I go, oh, no, it's okay. It's just a misunderstanding. I'll take care of it. And so, and first of all, I'm like, ain't no image worth $2,000 out there. But, and so then I start Googling, you know, how serious is Getty? Getty's real serious. And, like, there are whole, like, sections of the website where people are just like, you get one of these letters, you pay the money because you have no recourse.
It's extortion, but it's legal.
It's legal extortion. I think...
Don't take people's images.
I think we got him talked down to $600, but I paid that out of pocket just to get him off my back and not let the school be involved in knowing that their marketing person stole an image. There are some great places out there. Pixabay, Pixabay, is a great place to get free images that you guys can use. Actually, if you would just Google free image websites, there's a million of them out there.
Your favorite logo photographer and have them do a freebie shoot.
Absolutely. And those are the best ones. And especially if you're going to use pictures of your site or your location, everything. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. Our time's going fast, fast.
You wouldn't want to search free image site. You'd want to search, what's the term I'm looking for? Something domain.
Free domain? Open domain. Open source?
Yeah, it's not open source, but it's... I'll think of it.
Okay, let us know.
But you got to make sure that they actually have public domain.
There you go. Public domain. Yes.
So they actually can give you the right to use it.
Yeah. I have used Pixabay quite a bit and have not had any trouble with them. But yeah, that's a good point. Don't steal images. Who knew? Who knew stealing was wrong? Apparently only if you get caught. and you will get caught. So the different types of posts, give them information about your services. This is actually one of my favorite types of posts. Pop it into Canva. Go out and find you a cool quote that talks about, you know, making wise choices, thinking ahead. You know, there's a million quotes out there. This one says, when life gives you something that makes you afraid, that's when life gives you a chance to be brave. I did this whole thing in Canva. I went out and I found the picture, and then I found that quote, and I put that quote on there. Cool story about this. This post is about 6 years old, I think. Last summer, Preston and I were on a trip, just the two of us, and I was flipping through Facebook. And a friend of Preston's from college who lives in Atlanta, he posts a lot of, you know, these inspirational quote images. My picture showed up. He posted that. And so I reached out to him and said, hey, where'd you get this? And he goes, I don't know. He said, I saw it somewhere on Facebook. I thought it was really cool. And I reshared it. And I went, my image has gone around the world and back to me again. At least it went to Atlanta and back to me again. So these things get shared. I should have. I could have at least recouped my $600. These things get shared a lot. And then you can use it then as a gateway then to use that quote and then talk about, hey, here's how we are here to help you. If you do any kind of a blog or write articles, every single article that you are posting needs to go on social media because you need to boost that and get that out there for women who aren't following you. Do video. And I actually chose this one for a specific reason to remind us, do video with men in them because we actually... You know, a lot of you guys have services for men and encourage men to be a part of this process. And they don't have to be professional. This is what's really nice about Instagram. In fact, they probably shouldn't be professional. You've got somebody, I guarantee you guys have somebody who's younger in your organization who does really, really great on camera. I guarantee. This younger generation, it's like they were born with that ability. So use video. My video posts far outshine any of the other posts. I make sure I do at least one video post per week. And here's the cool thing about this. I have probably 20 different video posts. I just rotate through them because, again, we're not looking to be speaking to the same audience every time, right? We're going to boost these out. So it doesn't matter if I posted this 6 weeks ago. I can repost it again because I'm going to boost it and it's going to go to a whole new audience. So let's talk about these boosts. And there's a whole separate conversation that should happen if you haven't set up your social media, your Facebook and Instagram accounts to be business accounts to boost. That's a separate conversation, and I'd be willing to talk with you about that because you do have to go through some steps in order to be able to promote these out. But when you get to the point where you have a business account with Facebook and you are boosting these every single, and you'll see it right there. You put your post there, and there's a little blue button that says boost. So you can choose your audience. What I usually do is I usually choose the physical location of our pregnancy center, and then I say anybody within 25 miles of this, and then I say I want it to go to women and between the ages of 18 and that one's a little bit bigger. I think you can actually do between 16 and 30 or whatever. And then both Facebook and Instagram will start showing it up. Then you tell it how much you want to spend on it. Then they will start showing up. The cool thing is, these do not cost a lot. I usually choose, I want it to go out for 5 days. I'm going to do $5 as a dollar a day. And according to this, Facebook tells me that the estimated results, I'm going to hit 200 people a day for 5 days. That's 1,000 people, if I'm doing my math right. And you're going to get as many as 45 engagements per day on that. And it's just kind of cool because you can suddenly start getting your information for a really small amount of money out to an audience that doesn't know you. Same thing, just walk through the exact same thing. Whatever I post on Facebook, it goes into Instagram, the exact same thing, and then I just go through the same exact steps, and I say I want to boost this, and I tell it I want the audience, same kind of audience, women, these ages, in this geographic location. I spend more on Instagram because over the years I've seen actually these ads do better than my Facebook ads, and so I spend a little bit more on them. This, I'm still doing $14 over 7 days, and so $2 a day. I think the lowest that you can do is a dollar a day, but it's worth that. I mean, you can hit people, even if you only, you know, even if you don't have very many, I'm sorry, I just looked at the time and got distracted. Even if you don't have a very big budget for this, you're still going to be able to hit people that they don't follow you. They could, either they need your services or know somebody who does. Okay, when you're boosting, you're going to run into Facebook censors, and your boosts will be declined, I guarantee it, and that's the fight that we fight, right? Because we're using the devil's tools to tell light and life. But here's a couple ways to get around that. Let your pictures tell a lot of the story, okay? Anybody who sees this knows what's happening here, right? Okay. And you don't have to say the word pregnancy test or anything like that because Facebook won't let you talk about pregnancy. They won't let you talk about abortion, not when you're boosting. They will not let you use those words. So let your picture tell the story. And then like this one, if this just happened to you, you've got a lot on your mind. Anybody who reads that knows exactly what's happening. And this flies under the radar because initially Facebook's just, their algorithm is just looking for words and so you're not using those words, right? So that they don't catch it. Use words like a positive on that home test. Everybody knows what that's talking about, especially if you've got this image. They know exactly what you're talking about. And those are words where your audience knows, but Facebook is not catching it. One interesting thing that I have found, the word choice can be a real trigger word. Sometimes Facebook lets you get by with it. Sometimes it doesn't, and more often it doesn't. And sometimes we want to talk about choice, right? And so I have found that using the word decision does not trigger Facebook. Okay? So if you're going to talk about choice, talk about people having, they can make a decision. They have more than one decision to make. They have more than one option in their decisions. Okay? So, to wrap this one up, medium financial investment, and it can be as large or as small as you need it to be, but there usually are pretty good returns. This was August, this last August, for Facebook, and you guys saw I'm spending $1 a day, and I think I do 3 posts a week for them. I had 1,386 visits that were organic, meaning I didn't pay for those. Those were just people who actually were already following the page. But there were 24,804 people who saw my boosted posts with just spending that little amount of money. And the same thing with Instagram. Their reporting is a little bit different, but in August, just with the limited amount of money that I spent, I had 21,323 people who saw our post, and those were at $2 a day. 88 of those people then went on to the website. So look, at this Facebook, I'm spending $65 a month for those almost 25,000, and for Instagram, I'm spending $182 a month for 21,000 people. I think this is definitely an option if you're using your social media wisely. Okay, so great. I left a big one for the end, and now we're out of time. Yes, ma'am. Yes.
How do you know which words are censored?
You will learn. Yes, they do. They'll say you're. I'm trying to think it. Your ad is in violation of our policies. And you can, like, dig in there, and they'll be like, you're calling out traits of people. I'm like, you know, and you can't discriminate. I like it when they tell me I'm discriminating because I'm telling women about pregnancy. And I'm like, well, I know we're living in a really weird time, but to my knowledge, only women are getting pregnant. So, yeah. Across the board, though, pregnancy, any form of the word pregnant, any form of abortion, those two are going to be right off the bat. And so what you do with that, then when you get that notification, you go in and you reword it, and you submit it again. And then you reword it, and you submit it again. And then sometimes I found that if I just take the thing down and put it back up, it'll go through. It's weird. Just keep at it. I'm like, no, I'm not going to let Satan, you're not going to win today. I'm not going to let Facebook win. I'm going to get this thing boosted one way or another. And so I just keep at it until I finally manage to fly under the radar. So, okay, Google Ads, my favorite. I can't believe I'm going to talk about this in like 20 seconds. We're going to fly through this. I apologize. There are some steps to follow to create really great Google ad campaigns. And let's go through these real fast and we'll kind of hit some of these. We're going to create separate ad groups. Think of these as separate buckets. And again, we've kind of done this already with geofencing with Facebook. We've got, you know, our pregnancy, we've got our abortion, we've got our, you know, STD. You know, we're going to create separate ad groups. We're going to find appropriate keywords, and I don't want to assume that you know what I'm talking about here. So let me just, keywords are the words that a woman is going to type into Google that will bring up the ads. So I want an abortion. That would be considered a keyword. Sometimes keywords are multiple words strung together. Those are what we actually pay for. When we pay for Google Ads, when we say, I want, anytime a woman types these words, I want my ad to show up. So that's what we're paying for. And so we've got to find what are those words that the woman is searching on. We need to write really, really excellent ads so that whenever they type, I want an abortion, your ad pops up, and they read a little bit and they go, oh, yes, this is the right one. And then guess what? We're going to point them to what? Thank you. Yes, we're going to point them to landing pages. Okay. So, like I said, these are the three groups that that Advice and Aid has chosen to use: abortion, pregnancy testing, and STD testing. You can do any, you know, they can be whatever groups you want them to be. You know, you can add STD I don't know what I was going to say. Any of these make great ad groups. You cannot, if your facility provides abortion pill reversal, as of 2 months ago, you cannot run ads on Google for abortion pill reversal because, according to Google, it's harmful to women. And everybody in this room rolls our eyes so hard that they end up in the back of our head, right? Because we know the truth. Fact is, we're using their tool, so we got to abide by their rules. I'm surprised we've been able to use their tool as long as we do. Okay, so don't spend your time working on trying to do anything if you do abortion pill reversal, because they will shut you down immediately. So this is kind of hard to see a little bit. Google has this little great tool in there called the Keyword Finder. And so I go in there when I'm first looking for keywords, and I say, I wrote in, I want an abortion. And I want to know, okay, in my location, searched on 140 times a month. That's pretty good. I want to show up for those. But it also tells me, you know what else is searched on even more than that? I am 4 weeks pregnant and I want an abortion. And I go, really? People are really typing that in twice as many times as they're typing in I want abortion. And so I go, I kind of think I want to use those keywords too. And Google will tell you, here's some other words that are related to what you're talking about. You might want to look at those. They tell you how many times they've been searched on, and then they give the competition. Are there a lot of people out there that are bidding on these words, that are trying to use these words also? And if you can find some words that have fairly high searches and not a whole lot of competition on them, by George, snatch those up and start using those. You'll be surprised. I'm always fascinated at what Google suggests, because they're using actually their own system to know what people are searching on. Okay, so here's an example of one of our ads. This is for abortion, symptoms after abortion. It kind of gives you a little bit of this is what it's going to look like. Guys, I'm sorry I'm running through these so quickly. If you want my slides, I think my email address is on there. Let me know. I can actually send these to you. The way to set these ads up, you'll write a headline. Google suggests writing 15 different, apparently I have a minute and a half left, 15 different headlines. And what Google does is they rotate through all your different headlines. And then what happens is after a while they go, you know what, these two, nobody ever actually clicks on these. We're going to drop these off. And so then they start kind of narrowing it down a little bit for you, because Google knows everything. You're limited to 30 characters, so learn to be concise, and it kills a woman of words like me. But use all 15, write them, and they're all kind of different versions of the same thing, but Google gives you the opportunity to write out different headlines, and we can test them and see what happens. Then there's a description. With the descriptions, you have 90 characters in there, and you have four different descriptions. Fill all four of those out. Because again, Google's going to rotate through those. One time it's going to choose this headline and this description and mash them together. And it's constantly learning and adapting. And so then it starts finding the combination of headlines and descriptions that women click on, or the person clicks on the most. And so Google kind of does your work for you. And then you tell it where you want it to go to. These are our ads for 1 month, probably September, looks like, maybe. And that's kind of, Google gives you an idea. Your top little blue line there, you know, is your headline, And then, so it shows you exactly what these ads are going to look like. After you get your ads written, you're going to point them to a landing page. This is what our landing page looks like. It's laid out a little bit different than the other landing pages, but there's a little bit more information on there. Yes?
Can you geofence Google Ads?
No. No. But there are some interesting other things that you can do with that, but no.
Confine them to a geographic area.
Yes, and we'll get that.
Triggered by someone going into the area.
Because they're licensed for adoption in Missouri and Illinois. We don't want to show up in Kansas.
Right. Well, yeah, so you can definitely, yes, you definitely can set these, again, you're setting your audience, and so I only want these ads to show up to, you know, these people, you know, and you can tell it, you know, your physical address, and then tell it like within how many miles, and so you can kind of pull that down a little bit. So it's kind of like geofencing in a way where you're kind of setting a circle.
The answer is yes.
I just said no.
She was using the geofencing term.
We're not going to make it to 30. Okay. Did you get your answer?
Yes.
It's either yes or no. Great. Perfect. Thank you. All right. Again, with the landing page, I'm giving them one option, right? The downside to this, Google Ads can be expensive, okay? If you want to show up at the top, they can be expensive. However, Google has a grant for nonprofits, and a ton of pregnancy centers use it. It is actually worth $10,000 a month. It takes jumping through some hoops. Jacob Barr, who's here with iRapture, he can help you with that. He does a great job with those. I could help get that set up. Then it doesn't cost you anything to actually run these, up to $10,000. And I've never known a pregnancy center who uses their full budget for that. Okay, it does require some technical skills, unfortunately. And so you may need to get somebody who knows what they're doing in there to help you. Google is extremely anti-pregnancy center. They're extremely anti-pro-life. And so you constantly are getting things where your ads are, they won't show up. And sometimes you just have to ask them to re-review it. I've found that if I talk about any kind of pill, abortion pill, they immediately just say, nope. And I say, you know what, give me an exclusion, an exemption. And they go back and they re-review it because I'm not selling pills online. And I usually can get them through, but you do have to jump through a lot of hoops with this. So there are your three. And here's what I want to leave you with, because I was thinking about this. Anytime I work with somebody in, especially in the for-profit world, we do marketing because we want to beat the competition, right? That's what marketing, that's what business is all about. I don't know of any business out there where their competition literally murders babies, except for you guys. And so that's why we take these things. That's why I want you guys to take these things and do them with excellence. Because when you beat your competition, you literally are saving lives. And what you do is so very, very important and valuable. And that's why we want to learn these tools and use them with excellence. I think my email address is also on your sheets. If you have any follow-up questions, don't hesitate to reach out. If you want my slides, email me. And I know I ran through these last, the big hairy one at the end that I love the most. We talked too long on the beginning. But thank you guys so much. Thanks for hanging with me. I know it was a lot of information to run through. Enjoyed being here with you guys. And safe travels.